Backstage Pass is made possible by Mauer Productions On Stage, supporting community theater in central New Jersey.
Hello and welcome to Backstage Pass, Central New Jersey's community theater podcast. I'm John Mauer and I'll be moderating this session, where we will be preparing the way and living day by day, with the M&M Stage Productions presentation of Godspell being presented at the Kelsey Theater in West Windsor, New Jersey. Starting out as a college project performed by students at Carnegie Mellon University in 1970, Godspell is based on the Gospel of Matthew, with music by Stephen Schwartz and book by John Michael DeBellick. Featuring a sparkling score, the show is a series of parables interspersed with a variety of modern musical numbers set to lyrics from traditional hymns. Drawing from various theatrical traditions such as clowning, pantomime, charades, acrobatics, and vaudeville, stories from the Bible come to life with a message of kindness, tolerance, and love. Godspell ran off-Broadway in 1971 and on-Broadway in 1976, becoming a long-running success with over 2,000 performances. With me here to talk about the M&M stage production are director Mike Steele and two of the actors, Jonathan Martin, who plays Jesus, and Jay Scott, who plays Judas slash John the Baptist. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay, so Mike, you're directing the show. Why specifically this show? Did you choose it? Were you brought into it?
Well, M&M stage productions came to me and asked me, what type of show do you think we could do over the summer that would have a big draw that wouldn't be too difficult to do because of the limitations that they're put under by Tomato Patch, not being able to have a very large set, and they wanted a smaller scale production. And so I racked my brain thinking about the different shows I'd want to direct, and I had just seen Godspell on Broadway last year, and it was one of the first shows I thought of, and the more I talked about it with M&M, the more they thought that it was a really good idea.
Okay, now why specifically you? Why did they come to you to do a summer show? Have you worked with them before?
I've worked with both of them. And Mike DiIorio, I've worked with with Yardley Clayers many years ago. And so I've been directing local school shows for the past 7 years. And they asked me if I wanted to direct a show for their company.
Okay, now Godspell is different than other shows because usually in a show it says, here's the location, the place, the situation, the year, and Godspell doesn't have any of those restrictions to it. So people have placed it in apocalyptic societies, they've put it on rooftops, they've done it in different, not just physical locations, but locations setting-wise, in circuses and things like that. How are you approaching Godspell?
When I initially decided that we were going to do Godspell, I thought about the different places I wanted to set it, and I knew that I wanted to go different from the original production and the film, which was sort of like a junkyard, playground, urban type of feel, and then the recent revival, which was in an abandoned theater. And I thought, what type of setting do I think would be interesting and not so far off that audiences would be thrown and distracted from what the message of the show is? And so I thought, let's set it in a Catholic high school, keeping the cast young and age appropriate for authentic high schoolers. And then my ideas just kind of built upon that of what type of message is Godspell about? Well, it's essentially the book of Matthew and the teachings of Jesus. And I thought how appropriate to set it in a Catholic high school where every day these students are taught lessons from the Bible, and suddenly Jesus appears, and perhaps he gives them a different message than, they've been living. And so I find that so much of traditional religious teachings don't necessarily focus on the actual teachings of Jesus Christ, and this was an opportunity to address that.
Well, we happen to have Jesus with us, or at least Jonathan, who plays Jesus. Hello.
Hello. It has definitely been a bit of a struggle. Jesus is someone who knows everything and has an incredible amount of confidence, but there's an incredible amount of humility that comes with that. And Jesus can never come across as cocky. He would never be full of himself. He has confidence in the sense that he knows what's going to happen and he knows what he wants from his followers, and he knows the messages that he wants to send. But that being said, he knows that a lot of that falls on his disciples and making sure that they're with him every step of the way, and that he isn't showboating and he's never showing off. Instead, he's working with them to kind of create this community. So it's definitely been very, very difficult to get that confidence, but maintain that humility. I think that's been the biggest challenge.
Now, there's been a lot of Jesus is playing this role before you.
Yeah.
It is a challenge not only to play the part, but also to sing the role.
That was one of my biggest concerns probably at first, but the music director, Matt South, has really helped me out a lot with that. I haven't played many roles in the past where I've had this much singing with any one character, so there have been a lot more solos and things like that than I'm used to, but he's definitely worked with me a lot to make sure that I'm not just obviously hitting all the notes and singing everything technically properly, but making sure that the right emotion and the right meaning is behind every song, which I think has really helped me a lot.
Now, the flip side of Jesus in the show, you could say the alter ego, is Judas. And Jay Scott, you play Judas, John the Baptist.
Yeah. It's fun. I have to go some dark places, but you realize the brotherhood between Jesus and Judas, which is a lot of fun because me and John are very good friends. So having to share that brotherhood again, especially we did High School Musical 2 like 2 or 3 years ago, and coming back more mature and older, this is like the perfect show for us to come back to.
Now, the one thing about the dual role, Judas and John the Baptist, is that you're sort of going from friend to enemy. And one of the thoughts of Judas is that he's not really Jesus' enemy. He believes in him, and he's trying to get him to go with what he thinks is the way it should happen, and things just go wrong. How are you approaching it?
He's not the enemy at all. I feel like they start off as really good friends and brothers, and it goes to, because Judas is so headstrong, not that he becomes angry or mad at Jesus, that Judas just wants to take things into his own hands. And he feels like Jesus isn't doing it the best possible way, so Judas decides to take things into his own hands, not with the intention to hurt Jesus, but with the intention to try and make the progress that both Jesus and Judas want.
So is the set itself going to be a classroom, a gymnasium? What's the direction?
It's going to be a school classroom with just like bulletin boards hanging from the ceiling and like a movable blackboard. So kind of it's sort of like the walls can move, the blackboard moves in and out, the desks are moving around.
Part of the message that we're going for with our concept is in the very beginning of the show, there is a prologue where different actors on stage are talking about the philosophical beliefs of different philosophers across history. And in that scene, Jesus is sitting in the back of the classroom and is kind of ignored from a lot of the students in the class and is kind of pushed aside. And then John the Baptist comes in and starts singing, "Prepare You the Way of the Lord." And everybody gets excited and they push the desks out of the way and they kind of block Jesus and they kind of forget that he's there. That student in the back of the classroom. And then part of the concept that we have decided to go with is that what if that student who's kind of outcasted and who is looked down upon and ignored by a lot of students, what if he had something really important to say? And what if for one day everybody actually listened to him? And, you never know who somebody really is, and what if that student ended up basically being Jesus? And I think that's kind of a very strong message that we're putting out on top of the messages that are already in the script. And I think that's something that makes our production really unique. And it's definitely a message that I support 100%.
And another message is the sense of community in the show, because it's not just, even though it says God's Mouth about Jesus, it's not just for church people. Like, it is for everybody who wants to be a part of a community and wants to be in that sense of a community. Because the unique thing about the show is that the cast involves the audience so much. The audience has so much to do with us. So that sense of community really comes through, and it's not a preachy show. It's trying to showcase an idea of how to live life just using Jesus as an example of how to show that idea and how to back up that idea. So people need to remember that it's not just God and only church people come see it, only Catholic people. No, it's for everybody.
Okay, so you mentioned that the audience are a major portion of this. Now, it's another one of those shows where people interpret it very differently. In the original production, it was almost like Clowns, where there was a lot of pantomime and comedy skit-like material built into the parables that were being told. So what kind of direction are you going in with this?
Well, we're still going in the comedy direction because the parables are written very funny. And so, you know, in the original production, they shed normal clothes and put on clown costumes. And in our production, they're shedding their Catholic school uniform to put on normal street clothes. And basically what I've done with the cast is we took the script, and at our blocking rehearsals, we sat down and we would go through it as written once or twice and then start throwing out ideas as a group and adding on to what was already written, to the point that some of the parables we are performing very close to as written, and some of them we've taken a totally new direction on. And one parable in specific that, or specifically that I can think of, you know, was written to be performed as a sort of rhythmic type of chant, and we took it and decided to make it contemporary and made it into a rap song.
And I think part of that is what makes this show so unique, is the amount of collaboration between the cast. It's not one of those shows, and Mike told us this at the first rehearsal, it's not one of those shows where the director will just come in and say, this is your blocking, this is where you have to stand, you know, cross to stage left and figure out why you're crossing to stage left. There's so much collaboration between the whole cast, and then there's so much collaboration between the cast and the audience that every night the show is going to be different, and there's going to be a different vibe, there's going to be a different energy, and it's going to keep it unique, and it keeps it interesting, but there's also, it helps, I think, the audience get that message that Jay was talking about it's just a community, it's a community of love, and there's so much of that community, not just between the cast members on stage, but in that extension, including the audience as part of that community.
So it's sort of an improvisational atmosphere.
Yeah.
Yes. The cast is fantastic. There's 14 cast members. They're between the ages of 16 and 20, so it's very authentic. They really are actual students themselves. And they're triple threats, every single one of them, sing, dance, and act. Initially, when I began directing and I said, this is your script, and we're going to view this as an outline of the points we need to get across, that very first blocking rehearsal, a lot of them were really apprehensive about what they needed to do and what they needed to bring to the table. And they really wanted, I think, some more direction at that first blocking rehearsal. And once we got to the end of that first rehearsal and they saw how much of a collaborative atmosphere the rehearsals were going to be, they just have taken off from that point. And rehearsals are so much fun because we laugh, we joke, and at the end of it, we've accomplished so much through all of the playing that we've done with the script.
We're really building a community while we're at this too. Like, very few of us actually really knew each other. There were a few of us that knew individuals, but not as a whole. And you know, M&M is a new stage production. Many of us haven't worked with them before. So working with new directors and a new production staff, along with the new cast, we're building a community with a show that it takes so much from not just the production staff, but the cast's input as well. We're not just following orders. We're actually putting in our ideas and our own, you know, personality. I mean, me and John, we're the only named characters. Everybody else goes off their own personalities. So the show is timeless in that way, because every time you see it, it's going to be different in some way because each personality is going to change. So it's very different now than when it was back in the 70s when they did it. Very different now than when they did it last year on Broadway. There's a new energy to the show, which is why I think it's going to last forever, because no matter what cast you see, it's going to be completely different.
So what does M&M have coming up later in the year?
In January, they'll be presenting an evening of one-acts, which include The Actor's Nightmare by Christopher Durang and A Night in the Theater by Lawrence Kasler.
And for those who want to see Godspell, it'll be at the Kelsey Theater on the West Windsor campus of Mercer County Community College and will begin on July 12th and run through July 23rd. Tickets are $18 with discounts for seniors and students. Go to www.kelsey@mccc.org or call 609-570-3333 for further information and reservations. I want to thank my guests, Mike Steele, Jonathan Martin, and Jay Scott for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
For Backstage Pass, I'm John Maurer. Thanks for listening.